I'm going to go with Milak only because he's got more range in different events to be able to break a world record. Whereas Popovic will only break the world record, in my opinion, in the 100. He might break it multiple times, obviously.
I'm gonna tell you now, straight away, the comment section on YouTube are going to crucify you for that, because Popovic is the name in swimming right now.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my good friend, Dan. And on this week's episode, we are having a little bit of fun as we talk about the world of swimming in a kind of prediction, unlikely scenario sort of podcast. We would love to get podcast guests on, but at this time of year, swimmers, obviously, they had a very long cycle, three incredibly tough meets this summer. So a lot of them are on holiday, so we thought we'd rather not bother them. So Dan, on today's episode, we are going to be talking what's more likely in the world of swimming. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you very much threw this upon me right at the last minute. I was like, okay, right, we're just going for it. So there's nothing really planned at all. It is a lot of fun. So a lot of these, I don't know, it will be opinionated, I suppose. Maybe 50-50 chances or like 10%, things that are pretty maybe unlikely. But yeah, it's good to get involved, I think. So if you are watching on YouTube, comment below with some of your answers, and yeah, let's have a bit of fun with it.
Yes, the whole scenario of this episode is we are going to put two different scenarios against each other. Now, they might be 50-50 calls, so it might be a case of who's going to set the most world records, this swimmer or this swimmer. But there also might be a few really random ones where it's like a 5% chance against a 5% chance of this happening in the world of swimming. And like Dan said, we're just going to have some fun and see what comes out in the wash. We enjoy doing these episodes, don't we? Just have some fun.
Yeah, no script whatsoever. We've got like a rough draft of ideas that we could throw at each other. But yeah, most of it is just make it up as you go. And usually that's what makes it funny, I suppose. So yeah, I think we should let's just get into it. It's going to be quite a bit of fun, this one.
Okay, Dan, as this is my sort of podcast idea, shall I kick things off with the first scenario?
Okay, yeah, go on.
Okay, so I'm going to kick things off nice and simple with a comparison for you. Who is more likely to set the most world records over the course of their career from this point onwards?
Okay.
Christoff Milak or David Popovic?
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, that's interesting. Because when I think about it, I don't think that 200 freestyle world record is going in my head because I can't get the numbers.
He might get there at the end of his career.
Maybe at the end, so he's going to break that counts as one then, isn't it? So you're saying, let's say with Milak, he's a 200 fly world record holder. If he breaks it by the smallest margin, then breaks it again, that counts as two, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I think Milak has a good chance at getting 100 eventually as well, 100 fly.
Well, the thing is, he's got competition in the likes of Dressel in the 100, but then again, so does Popovic from Chalmers and Dressel in the 100 free.
Yes. Yeah. So really, I think I'm going to go with Milak only because he's got more range in different events to be able to break a world record. Whereas Popovic will only break the world record, in my opinion, in the 100. He might break it multiple times, obviously. But I think Milak is going to get another world record in the 200. Probably two, maybe three times. He's going to challenge for that 100 fly world record as well. He looks quite good in 100 free as well, to be honest with you. But I don't think he'll get that.
He won't get that world record.
So it's a difficult one. I'm still gonna go Milak. I think just it's.
I'm gonna tell you now straight away. The comment section on YouTube are gonna crucify you for that because Popovic is the name in swimming right now. I think it's got to be Popovic. Surely for that 100 free, that can just drop and drop and drop and drop. The 200 fly, you can't drop that in almost like. In every round of swimming, you can only do that in a final probably once a summer, like he did last summer, essentially. He did Worlds, he did Europeans, he didn't break it at Europeans.
Okay.
Whereas Popovic, for that 100 free, yes, he didn't break it in the semifinals, but he got mighty close. You can break 100 free in a semifinal and then again in the final. So that counts as two, in my eyes. And we're not even discussing the 200 I know you're very much that is still out of reach. I'm in the camp that that is in reach, given that at the Olympics, it's earlier on in the schedule compared to the 100. I think he gets that at the Olympics and then does the 100 free all of the rest of the other time.
So if you're guessing, how many times do you reckon Pofich is going to break a world record for the rest of his career?
A world record?
Roughly speaking. Obviously, this is all guessing.
I got five plus. I think he's got five. He's only 17. What am I on about? It could be 10.
This is the fun part of the podcast, isn't it?
That wasn't part of the scenario.
Yeah. Curveball. Yeah, well, listen, I'm not going to... It's difficult to disagree with you because Pofich can... I don't know what his limit is, so...
This is the thing. Both of them are going to break world records again. We're not saying that.
Yeah.
Who's more likely? You're going Milak, I'm going Popovich. Let's see in the comments section who is remarkably wrong, Dan.
I don't know. I mean, we somehow need to keep score of this, so we've got to keep an eye on for the rest of their career. I'm still relatively confident with Milak because I think that 200 fly time comes lower and lower and lower, much the same with Popovich in the 100, which you're predicting. Okay. And if he's able to get the 100 fly as well, I mean, then he's got two events to keep knocking down. You know, that's my thought process. Anyway.
Weirdly, in all of this now, Dressel is the unknown, given his summer this year. It's crazy to think he was the name of swimming for like 3-4 years, and now he's the unknown name. It's all very odd.
And he still should be, to be fair. I mean, he can still knock out a good 50 free, 50 fly, 100 fly, 100 free. Mm. You know, so he's still right up there. It's just that we haven't seen him race, and so everyone has sort of short-term memory, I guess. That's the problem. But interesting question. Yeah, let us know your comments below, because we are, I don't know, we're very much 50-50 here. So, yeah, leave your comments.
We're split.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, your turn. You get the premise now. You get the premise.
All right, well, let's stick with Popovich.
Okay.
All right. If they were to race tomorrow, okay, you've got David Popovich and you've got a prime Michael Phelps in a 200-meter freestyle. Who wins?
Tomorrow.
Well, they race
a prime
tomorrow.
Prime Phelps against Popovich now.
So their times are basically identical when you look at it on a stat sheet. But who would actually win the race, would you say?
Popovich, because Phelps doesn't have his suit.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think of the super suit.
Because Phelps had the laser when he set that identical time.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's my logic. That's the only... Because their time, even their splits in that 200 freestyle are now near on identical. They're the same swim. Popovich did it without the suit.
Yeah, interesting.
And they did it in the same pool, didn't they? If I'm remembering correctly. Or did Phelps swim that one in Beijing?
He did it in Beijing, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I think Popovich might go faster indoors.
I don't know. I don't know the science behind it. I thought it was better to swim outside. That's the reason why you see Rome getting so many
world
records.
Get a bit of a wind assist, but you also get a wind against you. So.
Against on the other length, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, my thought process when I was thinking of this question was the mentality of the swimmer. And, of course, you know Phelps is really, really almost aggressive.
Oh, you're thinking more the head-to-head than the time.
That was the thought process. So,
okay, so you think maybe Phelps tries some antics behind the block and intimidation and like he did Cavitch, that sort of stuff.
something along those lines. That was the thought process behind the question, but I never really thought about the super suit as such. But then we talk about Popovich's mentality with him only being 17 and he's quite mature for his age, etc., etc. So that was the thought process. I haven't actually thought of an answer for myself here. If I had the mentality idea when I thought of the question, I would go for Phelps because he doesn't like losing and he doesn't really lose. So that's the reason why I picked Phelps. But again, I'm going against the whole big supporters of Popovich right now. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah.
Interesting. We haven't planned this. This is a very nice segue.
Okay.
So my next one. What's more likely to happen? Phelps' 8 golds goes.
Okay.
Or a female gets more medals than Emma McKeon did at the Tokyo Olympics. So you got Phelps' golds, 8 golds, against McKeon's 7 medals. Which one is more likely to go first?
So when you say go first, there'd have to be a male swimmer to win 9 golds. Is that what
you're saying? Correct. Or a female swimmer.
That is super. Oh, okay. So, okay, okay. I mean, both very unlikely.
Well, this is the thing. I also kind of, with this kind of scenario, I want to put a little bit more respect on what Emma McKeon did at Tokyo. That one, way too quiet. That was ridiculously good. Gets
brushed under the carpet a bit too much, that one. So the choice is a swimmer getting 9 golds or a female
getting 8 medals.
I suppose based off that, it's going to have to be a female getting 8 medals just because it's one less medal.
Who's likely to do it?
Who's the next closest to get as many golds as that? Dressel got 5 in Tokyo, and that was seen as a big accomplishment. Mm.
So yeah, Dressel was closest, I think, given the American relays.
You've got to have a swimmer go nearly double that. I know there's more chances now in mixed relays getting put in. Yeah. But is there a female swimmer as of right now, outside of someone like Emma McKeon, who will challenge for 8 medals?
Ledecky.
So if you have the 2, the 4, the 8, the 15.
Well, this is just medals. Just medals. It's
yes. Oh, true. Yes, just medals. Okay. 4x2. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be involved in these mixed relays. That's the issue for Ledecky.
So she's got 5 there. Now, 5.
Yeah. Go on.
Over in America at the national meet, she did a 4am, and she did a good 4am.
And you only have the medal, I suppose, but then you've got Summer McIntosh.
Does she ever swim
through.
It? It clashes with 4-3 pretty badly.
It's on the first day, yeah. That's a terrible double. I don't think anyone's going to be able to do that amazingly well, obviously. You'll have one good swimmer.
So she's essentially, do you reckon she does a 100 free? I don't think she's part of the 4x1 relay. She wouldn't do it. So that she's stuck at like so. 5, isn't she?
Yeah.
Really?
So you really need a sprinter who can do multiple events. Someone like Sarah Sjöström, but if she was part of, let's say, America. Because then...
Well, the Swedish team's good. Swedish team's really good. So you go the 50 free, the 100 free, the 100 fly.
Yes.
There's no 50 fly.
That's a shame.
The
4x1
women.
She was quite strong at 200.
She's not going to medal.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's quite an open race at the moment.
She used to. I don't think she medals now.
Yeah. Yeah, you said the 4x1.
4x1 women, the medley women, and then the 6. mixed 4x1 medley. I don't think the mixed 4x1 free's in the program yet.
Yeah, so if anyone's going to do it...
You're stuck.
Like I said, both are extremely unlikely. And if we can't think of a female to win 8 medals, a female's not winning 9 golds. And then who, out of the male side?
What's the other one then? So, Klekazan? She's the same as Sjöström. You get to 6 and then you're stuck.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And on the male side, I mean, Dressel really
is. You need
is
someone who does
best.
100 and a 200 free as well as all of the sprints, which is what Emma McKeon did.
Yes, yeah.
Could Summer McIntosh get there?
Well, she's got a strong Canadian team with her, especially on the women's side anyway.
Okay, so Summer McIntosh could do 2 fly.
Yes.
2 IM, 4 IM.
Yeah.
4 free, 2 free. I'm not looking at schedule clashes. There are some schedule clashes there. That's 5. Then she's on the 4x2 relay for sure. Yep. So that's 6. All then she needs to get on is the 4x1. That's potential. Canada have always been pretty strong there.
Yeah, maybe.
And then I don't think she gets on the I don't think she gets on the mixed medley. I don't think she does. She's not the fastest 100 freestyler in Canada. So she's then 7 at a push.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, yeah, so both are very unlikely. But if we're going to pick one or the other, I think we're closer on the 8 medals for a female, aren't we? I think we're closer on that front.
Oh, I thought you were going 9 golds.
Oh, no. No one's anywhere near that, I'm afraid. Honestly, that record that Phelps got, those 8 golds, I don't think that's ever going to be touched. I'd love to see it go, but I doubt it very much.
Okay, so that was a particularly hard one to compare. What have you got next for me?
I'm going to go and think of something to do with relays here. So if you've got Sarah Sjöström and Siobhan Haughey as part of the American 4x1 freestyle team, would that team, that America team with those two swimmers, would they beat the Australian 4x1 team?
And you're asking me to do this without looking at the splits and doing the math?
Yeah, just off the top of your head. So you've got to try and work out who would be part of that American team, of the other two swimmers. Then you've got to work out the Australian team, which is kind of self-explanatory already. And then roughly guess who would win that race. Yes,
You're nice and kind, aren't you? So the two other American swimmers would be, for me, Tori Husk and Claire Kazan, with potential Kate Douglas and maybe Simone Manuel if she comes back to full. If she comes back to full form, but I'm going to stick with it being Tori Husk, Claire Kazan. They can both go a 52 point. And then you're throwing in Sjöström and Hohi. So what could Sjöström do?
Well, Sjöström's world record holder on a high 51. But she hasn't really been anywhere sort of close to that. So she's a low 52.
And low 52.
Yeah, and Hohi's much the same as well, a low 52.
So you've got three of them then who could go. So let's say Claire Kazan 52 high, Tori Husk 52 high. And then you've got 52 low, 52 low against the Australian team, which is likely to be Molly O'Callaghan. Oh, wow. This is hard to pick. Emma McKeon.
Yeah.
I have no idea where Kate Campbell is other than touring through Europe on her Instagram. Looks very fun.
Yep.
Yeah, let's put Kate Campbell and then probably Shayna Jack at this point.
I put Shayna Jack.
Yeah, Shayna Jack.
Yeah.
So that's right now 52, 52, and 51 for Emma McKeon. 51 high.
Maybe. I mean, all of them on their good day can find a 51 point.
Oh, man, you've just made two relay teams that all go 52 points and potentially lower. Gut feeling Australia.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, like we said at the start, some of them were going to be 50-50s, and this really would be a 50-50 race, wouldn't it, right? You'll
throw me under the bus with that one.
I would also go for Australia, because I worked out that they were all roughly speaking 52 mid, if you put them all as average. And then it all comes down to relay takeovers. And if you want to be doing a relay takeover, you want to be doing a relay takeover off someone that you probably train with and know quite well, you know, which obviously the Australians do. So that was my thinking behind picking Australia. Tough one, eh?
That was fun. That was fun. Okay, so a little bit more of a fun one.
Okay.
What's more likely? The ISL comes back in 2023.
Okay.
Or we now see world championships every year from now on.
Okay.
I'd say both are probably quite likely.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I think ISL definitely comes back at least for one more year, to see how the numbers are, I guess, on viewership and stuff like that. And then who knows what FINA are doing at the moment with World Champs. I'm not quite...
is now their cash cow.
Yeah, I assume it's COVID-related because they lost so much money over those 2 years, and so they're trying to get it all back. So I would say both are likely, like you say, but which one is most likely? Is that a question?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with ISL to be the most likely out of the two. Just.
Wow!
Yeah. Oh, you disagree?
Okay. I was going the other way.
Okay.
I was going World Champs are now every year because that's the pattern that we see until past Paris, really, isn't it? I think it's already confirmed all the way to 2024.
Yes. Well, actually.
And if they're committed to doing this in an Olympic year, is World Champs every year from now on?
Maybe, but I honestly think ISL is not a done deal, but I actually do think it's definitely happening at least one more time. That wasn't part of the question. You didn't say whether it's a continuous ISL every year.
No. I just said if it comes back, that's it.
Yeah,
if it comes back. I mean, you've got to factor into this the fact that ISL stopped because all of the money's trapped in the war in Ukraine and you couldn't get...
Yes.
Do you factor that into your thinking at all? You can't pay anyone right now because the money's stuck.
Well, I think that's the reason why it only goes one more year, because I think they'll still have a little bit of money issues with paying the summers, for example. but they are under new management, if you like, new CEO, new commissioner. Yeah. But again, I don't know where this, if there is new money coming in at all, whether it's
really
going to be there.
ISL over so, World Champs? Really?
I think so. You say if Worlds is going to be on every year for the rest of time.
From now
let's
on.
Say. I think they're both likely. I think they're both going to happen. But I think ISL is definitely going to happen next, or it will return. Whereas I'm not absolutely certain that Worlds will be every year for foreseeable.
Okay.
That's it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Again, leave your comments below. Oh, just throw it out to the listeners when we have no idea. We're on the fence.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, my turn. I'm going to make up a new race, okay? And it's quite an interesting race. If you have a race at the Olympics, whatever meet it is, it's a 50-meter underwater race. Streamline dolphin kick. Male and female, so two separate races. Who is the world record holder?
In men's and women's.
Well, so
this
you have
isn't
a male
a
race
more likely, is it? This
it's
is
not,
just
no.
a scenario.
These are scenarios, right. Yeah.
Who's the world record holder in...
the men's side and then the women's side.
The obvious answer for the men's is Dressel, but I don't think it is. I'm going to go Milak for the men's 50 underwater.
Okay.
Because Dressel's got the start. No doubt he's got the start. But there was footage, actually, I saw on Twitter the other day, of Milak's underwater kick, and it is astonishing how much he gets out of so little.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very strong.
So I'm going Milak on the men's.
Okay.
On the women's. Who's got the best underwater on the women's?
I had to think about this one. I'll give
you
a bit of
time. I'll go Maggie McNeil.
Okay.
So I've gone 50 underwater. World record is going to be held by Milak and Maggie McNeil.
Interesting. Okay. Let's start with the women's side. I've got two possibles, with Maggie McNeil being one of them. And I think that would probably be my choice in the end. The other choice was Beta Nelson, who's extremely strong at underwaters. But I think I agree with you on Maggie McNeil. I mean, you only have to look at
her. On
the
men's side, are you going to throw Joe Litchfield in?
No, I'm not actually. No, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't think of him in your thought process at all. Because I didn't say anything about being on your front. You can be on your back.
Okay. So you're going a backstroker.
I've gone for Ryan Lochte. And I think it's a hands-down winner.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for like Ryan Murphy.
He's also up there, but I honestly think like Ryan Lochte, let's say you have a dive, then you just rotate onto your back and then carry on your back. I think Ryan Lochte would get it.
I wasn't thinking about historical swimmers, if I'm perfectly honest. I know he is still going, but he's not going now.
Who owns the world record?
Who owns the world record?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But you said Milak, so there you are.
I did say Milak. Did that throw you off?
Milak didn't even come into my thought process. It was Lochte first, and then Phelps, Dressel. I had the idea of Chad being in there, because he's quite good at breath holding.
That wasn't really in my thought process, breath holding. I think they can all do it.
And then Ryan Murphy. So it was between Lochte and Ryan Murphy for me in the end. And then I thought, well, I think we've seen Lochte go 24, 25 seconds for underwater 50 meter.
Something like that.
Underwater.
If I can find the clip, I'll pull it onto the edit on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Crazy fast. But yeah.
Okay.
Leave your comments below.
Scenario there. I'll tell you what, we'll put a poll out on Twitter after this podcast is live. And everyone can vote on the poll which scenario they think is gonna happen first.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't done a what's more likely, but in the thought process of that, a what's more likely came out of it.
Yes, yeah.
I'm gonna go British swimming. Because we are a British swimming podcast. I've got three fun ones for British swimming. I don't know if you've got that many, but we'll see. So my first one is a what's more likely for sports personalities. So who is more likely to get nominated from British swimming this year?
Oh boy.
Ben Proud.
Yeah,
or Tom Dean.
Oh, do you know what? Weirdly, I think Tom Dean is more well known than Ben Proud to the average Joe Bloggs on the street because he won
that Olympic gold.
Well, actually won two Olympic golds because of 4x2 as well. Yeah. And so that's the reason why I think he's more popular, I guess. That's a weird word
to say. This isn't what you think or what you would like to happen. This is what you think will happen.
Yes. Yeah. So who's likely to... Because BBC Sports personality is really all accomplishment-based and being popular, right? I think we'd probably agree on that.
It's not personality, essentially. If anyone's listening in from a different country, it's our award over here where it's a popularity contest and you've got to be good at sport. It's not really personality.
Yes. So it's got nothing to do with that. It's based on achievements whether the... I don't know, people in sports would actually choose one of these two swimmers, of which I think both of them should be there. That's my opinion. But if I were to pick one of the two of who's most likely to be nominated, it would probably be... But Ben Proud's just won the 50-meter freestyle 3 times. So I'd have to go Tom Dean just because I think more people would know him.
But logically, it should be Ben Proud, right?
That's... Yes. I think, yes.
Okay. Have you got any British swim ones, or do you want me to fly through mine?
Go on, you just do yours. That was quite a fun one.
Okay, so which event are GB most likely to produce a medalist in?
Okay.
Distance swimming in the pool or open water swimming? And this is at the Olympics. So which one are we most likely to produce a medalist in?
Male or female?
Yeah, just full stop.
Any swimmer?
Because British swimming needs to do better at these events.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count that Dan Jervis is already sort of close to meddling anyway. That doesn't matter.
That does count. It counts towards your thing, but he hasn't got an Olympic medal.
No, not just yet, no.
Yeah, but that can count into your predictions.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a tough old field in that men's 15 and 8 at the moment.
I'd say the same for open water.
Well, yes, yeah. So any medal, any colour, they have to be British. Toby Robinson's doing quite well. Hector Pardo is still there, you know.
But you've still got the likes of Welbeck, Romanchuk and Palchineri all doing open water.
Yes, yeah, that doesn't help at all, I know. So pool swimming or open water swimming?
Distance, essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Open water is hard. I'm going to... blind. I can't think of anyone who's going to challenge for a medal on the women's side in open water. You've got Alice Deering.
Ella Dyson does a little bit. Yeah. So the Wickham programme focuses a lot on open water swimming.
Yeah, they add it to the programme, don't they?
Ella Dyson, there's Fleur Lewis.
Yes.
Potentially on the distance side, if you're willing to wait this out and you don't think there's anything in the water right now, maybe Amitley Bloxage of City of Salford. She crushed at National Summer Champs this summer in Sheffield, but she is still 13, 14.
Yeah, got a potential few years to wait there. I'm going to give you my answer. I'm going to go for... It's going to be a male swimmer, and I think I'd have to go for the pool, because I think Dan Jervis definitely has a chance. And on his given day, he could beat those boys, I reckon. Unlikely as it might seem, because those guys are so far ahead, it seems, at the moment. But I think Dan Jervis has got something special in the tank. I think that British record eventually goes, and it might be good enough to medal in any international meet. And then does he go into open water eventually? I'm not quite sure. I think Toby Robinson also has a good shout in the open water. So I'd it's between those two, but I'd probably lean towards the pool swimming, because I think Dan might just get it eventually.
Okay. It's interesting. I think there's just slightly more of a focus on pool distance swimming in this country. When you've got the likes of the Swansea set up, have a very good distance program. So do the Loughborough University, which is Andy Manley's got a very good squad there. I know the best swimmer out of that lot is Daniel Whiffen, so he's not quite... I wouldn't count that as British, he's Irish.
Yeah.
I get the logic. Mm. I was wondering if an open... Well, maybe a Toby Robinson springs a surprise, because anything can happen in open water. I think that one's a bit more unpredictable than the pool.
Yeah, I suppose because in open water, they usually huddle together until the last, let's say, 400 metres. That's when they all start making their move and start sprinting. I mean, let's say a 10K open water race and they're split by like 1/100 of a second. It's quite incredible. So yeah, anyone on the women's get their side, hand there. Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Go on, you've got one more British one.
One more British one. What's more likely to happen? A new national centre is formed at a certain university, a certain pool, or GB produces an NCAA champion?
Ooh, okay.
So both, I think, are extremely wild predictions.
Yeah.
Because you can't predict either of them, really. We have no knowledge of either of them at this point. There's not a GB swimmer out in America who I think is going to win an NCAA's right now. It's going to be a hypothetical in the future.
Yeah, okay. So the swimmer has to be British, but they're racing at NCAA. So, for example, Alyssa Wilson.
An American.
If she were to win a medal, that counts. Mason will be if he were to win a medal.
No, not win a medal. NCAA champ.
Champ. Oh, he has to win.
Gold.
Right. that's harder now. Okay. Is it likely that they're going to make another national centre? Where would they put it?
This is interesting. So, currently, you may think that there's more than one national... Or you may think that there's a fair few national centres, but there are only two. So, there's one at Bath and there's one at Loughborough. Stirling is not a national centre, nor is Swansea, nor is Cardiff. Okay. So, there could be the scenario that Stirling turns into a national centre rather than they create a new squad at a new pool. Mm-hmm. That has to factor into your scenario.
Interesting, because I kind of, in my head, considered Stirling to already be a national centre. So, the fact that it's not, will it make that transition? I don't know how much would actually change for it to become a national centre, to be fair. And I suppose when you look at it on a, like if you look at the UK on a map, it kind of, Scotland, you've got Wales, and you've got the north, if you like, in Loughborough, then you've got the south in Bath, and then there's really kind of an area missing in London, so there could be one to fill
that's
London Aquatic Centre sort of area. Is it unlikely? I've literally got no idea. No idea at all. But that's interesting that you threw in that Stirling isn't a national performance centre.
Not based on... So it's called a performance centre. On British Swimming's definitions, they have two. They only have those two.
It's interesting. Or do we have an NCAA champion? That's quite unlikely. Although there's a fair few British swimmers going over to America. Tamron Van Salm is making the jump over there.
Just going, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be more of a regular occurrence, to be fair, of our swimmers going over to the collegiate system.
I'd say for sure, because there's going to be less spaces at these big universities unless they expand one or two of them.
Yes, yeah.
In this country. So more will be going over. And we know there's been quite a lot of success at the junior levels in swimming.
Yeah. So if I were to choose, I'd much prefer there being a British swimmer to win NCAAs. I think that would be incredible for us to be able to get effectively a national champion in America and then come over here and then represent GB at Olympics and potentially win. That'd be amazing. But I'm going to lean towards there being another national centre. I know John Ruddy's adding quite a few national centres in Ireland, and I don't know if then GB or England will
count.
Will then follow suit, kind of thing. So I'm going to lean towards the national centre more so than the American champion, although I'd rather the American champion.
Okay.
I've covered
it's interesting
all bases.
Because in factoring in my head, I think, to me, British Swimming's got the most, I think it's got the highest funding it's had since London. British Swimming, given all the success that it had at Tokyo. And in all of that success, in all of that high funding, Stirling still isn't a national centre. So for it to become a national centre, I think there has to be a lot more funding. Again, this is completely hypothetical. We don't have the research. We don't entirely have the knowledge behind it. It was a bit of fun. Is there a chance that an NCAA champion is British? I think it's highly unlikely given the strength, and that is the focus. Like, for a lot of kids over in America, that is the goal, more than like Olympics half the time.
Sometimes,
I think both are extremely unlikely. Unlikely. And I was leaning towards NCAA, if I'm honest.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because I just don't see how the setup now changes. I think it's very much a coin model.
Yeah, it's a coin flip. I mean, Stirling had a lot of success, so why would you change it at the moment, I suppose?
It works.
But this could be a decade or two down the line, so you just have no idea. Yeah. But coin flip, don't know. Leave your comments, everyone. I've got no idea, so it might happen, it might not. I'm going to go with that both are probably unlikely.
Yep. Right, you go. I've had three now. You go.
Okay, sure. I'm going to go and talk about these world records. Which is more likely to fall, the men's 800 free or the women's 200 fly?
Oh, this lines up very nicely with one of my questions. The women's 2 fly.
So you think the men's 800 is the hardest world record in swimming?
Has anyone ever got close to that?
Well, no one's really got close to the women's 200 fly either, to be fair. Both both are impossibly hard to hit, you know?
Honestly, I think I'd go the women's 2 fly because of Summer McIntosh and the potential. The men's 8 free, I don't know how that goes. I just don't. No one's got close to that.
No.
And I admittedly, no one's got close to the women's 2 fly, but you have someone there who is crushing times with massive scope for improvement at 15. That would be my argument.
Yes, again, and I suppose...
I am in no way, shape or form saying Summer McIntosh is breaking that world record. I say it's more likely that the women's 2 fly goes compared to the men's.
This is my thinking.
Blimey.
My thinking is that we are experiencing almost a golden age in men's distance freestyle, right? I think you'd probably agree. And they aren't actually close to that world record. And we're experiencing some of the best distance swimmers that we've probably ever had. And they're nowhere near. Whereas on the women's side, yes, they've got nowhere near. But like you say, you've got this young prodigy who, honestly, I don't think any of these world records are going anytime soon. But I think the one that's more likely to go because of a certain swimmer, Summer McIntosh, I'd have to say the 200 fly for the women is more likely to go. So I'm on the same sort of wavelength as you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so my final question was very much along these lines. It was really similar.
Okay.
What's more likely to happen? The men's 800 meters freestyle world record goes. So again, a bit like yours. Yeah. Or we see Michael Phelps swim a competitive race again.
Now, you'll have to say what competitive means, because it could be just an expedition, something like that, or is it
not
like
an expedition,
a pool,
a licensed meet where his time would count against the system. So he could race one race at ISL. That's what I'm thinking.
And he could race at someone like Masters?
No.
Ah, not Masters.
I'm going to say not Masters, otherwise that's really probable.
Yes, yeah.
I'll personally.
If Masters was available, I think, yes, Phelps would probably race in that. He can compete elsewhere, but not in Masters, basically.
Essentially in the UK, he could complete at a level 2 open meet if he wanted to. I'd count that.
Okay, yeah. So Bucks, for example, he could just race at Bucks.
Because your times count for that.
Yeah, your times count.
But he's never racing Bucks.
Okay, no.
But a licensed meet, that's what I mean. A licensed professional meet.
Okay. Well, men's 800 free isn't going. So I'm trying to get in my head, will Phelps just do one race? And where would he do it? That's why I asked if he was going to do an expedition, because I think he probably would do that for, I don't know, money, sponsorship, whatever.
Charity,
Charity, yeah, sure. As part of like a fun relay, 100, something like that, you know. But he's got to race individually. Can he be part of a relay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That opens a few doors.
But he's still got to qualify for the relay.
Yes.
And that qualifying swim would count.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you two highly unlikely scenarios here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm going to... Because I'd like to see it. I think I'd like to see Phelps come back for just one more race. Just because that
The person who's been retired for years, you think he's more likely to come back than anyone ever getting the 800 freestyle world record? Really? Because there's a ticking clock on the Phelps one. There's not a ticking clock on 800.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
That was my logic.
Okay. I think I'm just going with what I'd most want, I suppose. okay. Yeah, because eventually you'd like to think that world records are always going to fall at some point because people get stronger,
taller. But Phelps has not got forever to swim again.
No. If he was racing at Masters, if there's that option or an expedition, I'd say definitely that. But if it's got to be a licensed meet where times count, I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't even know if is his kids going to be competing at some point. Would he then be part of a relay team of his child?
Relay
I don't know.
Team. Oh, that'd be cool.
A bit like what LeBron does in the basketball
Phelps relay team.
Yeah. all right. Yeah. All right. You've kind of actually turned me a little bit. Yeah. You know, I'll right. The men's 800 free is more likely to go then rather than a felt. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've turned.
All right then. All final right. scenario then. This has been a very fun podcast. Final scenario, Dan. Hit me. Hit me. Let's see where this goes.
All right. For our last one then, I've got. If you've got Popovich in the super suit era, would a 44 100 meter freestyle be possible?
No.
Ooh, that was easy.
Straight away, no. It's the super suits was all about body type. So I think we spoke to a swimsuit guy about this like years ago. The body type of those guys swimming 100 meters freestyle then, they were giants.
They were bigger.
They were absolute machines. They were gym rats. Let's put it that way. They were gym rats. Popovich is a skinny, skinny legend. I'm not sure his build would suit super suits. Now, we saw the world of swimming change to fit super suits, and we've seen the world of swimming change away from that. There isn't those guys in swimming anymore. Not, I'd even say the 50 freestyle. The guys are not that big. Ben Proud is chiseled. He's ripped to the hills, but I don't think he's as big as your old school Alan Bernard. He was giant.
Yeah, he was a monster of a man. Yeah.
So no, I don't think the super suit, it might help him, but I don't think it does, actually. I don't think the super suit helps Popovich.
Okay, well, this is my thinking behind it, is that, you know, when Dressel tried it for his sub-20 and 20, and he,
and he
effectively got nowhere near, really. Yeah. I think with the swimmers nowadays, they're not used to being that buoyant in the water, and so effectively they're swimming a different stroke compared to what they would be used to be doing in just textile suits. So actually, I think it would hinder him, a bit like what happened to Dressel, it would hinder him being high in the water because his body's not used to it. You'd be using different muscles. Well, the same muscles, but in a slightly minuscule different way. So I would agree with you. I don't think a 44 would be possible. I don't think it's possible anyway. Only short course. Long course, I just think it's way out the question. Interesting that you thought of that immediately.
Straight away.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Right, I got one more fun one, just as a little bonus one for you, because it's a bit of fun for you.
I got that one too quickly, duh.
Yes, yeah. Who wins this race? Ben Proud in a parachute or yourself?
Oh, Ben Proud in a parachute.
That was also too
On that point, that's a very good place to end this podcast.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun doing these what's more likely scenarios. If you want to have your thoughts and opinions, head over to the Propulsion Swimming Twitter page after this podcast is live. We will put a poll out for every single scenario we put out there. See what you guys think. See how wrong Dan was at the Popovich versus Milak scenario at the start of this podcast. But that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming podcast. If you have enjoyed it, please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And from myself and Dan, we will see you on the next one.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. Leave your comments down below to prove that I was right about the first question. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.